All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsher. Thank you for joining me on this gorgeous Saturday, August 1st, 2015. Yep, it's August. That means half your summer's over and probably about a month and a half, 2 months left of real golf weather. But hopefully Mother Nature will be a little more kind to us than she was this winter. And we can extend that a little bit into November, maybe even December. Let's not get greedy, but let's hope we could do that. Looking forward to talking to Tom Kaplan, the superintendent at North Hempstead Country Club. He was on previously earlier in the year when there was much to do. Talk about the golf course at Chambers Bay and all the confusing turf conditions, if you will. And today we're going to having him on. I want to talk a little bit about, we had talked about the impact of progressive spikes and on turf conditions, especially obviously the green conditions. And this week we're going to be talking a little bit more about technology, a little bit about these new golf boards that are coming out, and a few other things. So looking forward to talking to Tom Kaplan, the superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club. We're going to burn our first break, but we'll be back in 60 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Before we get to Tom Kaplan, the superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club, I just wanted a little shout-out to Joe Saldino, past guest and Long Island amateur standout, who's battling the semifinals at Baltusrol for the Metropolitan, the Met Amateur, put on by the Metropolitan Golf Association. So good luck to him, and wish him well in the semifinals. Hell of a player. Watched him at the Havemeyer some years back, and just a tremendous golfer and talent. Real smooth swing, long and fluid, and probably pretty much the opposite of mine. So it's just amazing to watch him get around the golf course. Pleased to be joined now by Tom Kaplan, North Hempstead Country Club Superintendent. Tom, how you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, Anthony. How are you? Can't complain. August 1st, everything looks good, so we're cruising right along.
Yeah, I was just saying earlier in my intro that it's pretty much, maybe about a month and a half left of real golf weather. I mean, sure, we can extend and get into, we'll probably have some beautiful 55-degree days and stuff like that. But when you talk about summer, just about a month left, really.
Yeah, right. Well, our membership tends to play right up until Thanksgiving. So, we have, it calms down during the week, but we got some great golf days left. Like you said, a majority of the people, that do go back to work do kind of wrap up their golf game middle of September. For those, yes, they're getting shorter. But, for our playing membership, they certainly do enjoy playing right up till Thanksgiving and putting the sweaters on and the cold weather gear. And that's the one great thing about Long Island. People are passionate about their golf.
Yep. They don't have much of a choice, right? So they got to deal with the elements.
That's right.
I wanted to follow up. Last time we talked about the progressive spikes and the golf spikes that were some of the things that they were doing to the greens, particularly in the Adidas model. I just wanted to follow up because we had a little talk about it on Twitter. Just wondering if you were hearing more and more golf courses around maybe perhaps putting or implementing some conditions regarding, or at least talking to the golf pros. Is it becoming more of a dialogue now with the golf pros, do you think, across Long Island to help out with to sort of either have the golf pros change out the spikes or just not selling particular models in general? Do you feel like that sort of gained momentum and sort of became more of a story after we spoke?
You know, it's tough to tell. I can't really tell across the island if it's become a trend. I can only speak really to our club, and
sure.
Have to really credit our board of governors, my green chairman, and also to our golf pro, because at the beginning of the year, the golf pro took the Adidas line off of the shelves and went with a more friendly line. I think he came out with the Nike line, which has really picked up in popularity.
Right.
And we also went to all the Adidas wearing members and asked them if we could just at least just change the spikes out on the bottom of their shoes, which they all agreed. And you know, with a different spike, with that I believe it's like a Black Widow. It's a little bit of a softer spike.
Sure.
You know, we've seen quite a difference since doing that. So you know, it's a real credit to our members at least for taking that initiative, and to our golf pro. You know, for helping out in that respect. So, but in terms of across Long Island, you know, I haven't really spoken to anybody else or really seen anything.
Right.
You know, it gets hard this time of the year because you're so locked in on your own golf course and your own weather conditions. It that kind of becomes an off-season topic, which I'm sure will pick up momentum as we go into the fall and whatnot.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I get it. You know, you're grinding now. You're in the heart of the season, and you've got member guests and members and everything else that's going. I guess I was just wondering, I would assume based on the fact that if you guys thought it was a little bit of an issue, I'm sure you're not the only one on Long Island. So will be a big talking point in the off season, I'm sure. I just wanted to follow up on it because we had brought it up a little bit last week or last time you were on. You know, the golf industry is always trying to find these new and innovative ways to get people to play more golf or to make the golf experience more enjoyable. And just, you know, now they've come out with these new golf boards, which is essentially this motorized skateboard, really, if you think about it, that sort of mimics surfing and skateboarding, if you will. Given the undulations of the terrain on a typical golf course. But very little has been asked of people like yourselves, golf course superintendents, the custodians of the turf, if you will, and what the impact has been or what you've heard or what you think might be on turf conditions in general, not just North Hempstead Country Club, but just in general. Any thoughts on what you've seen in regards to this?
Yeah, sure. Well, when you asked me about the topic, I found it very intriguing. You know, I had heard about it. I read an article in Newsday, I believe, out at Hampton Hills. They started using these golf boards. They have about 50 or so, and they have about 70 members that actually take a training class. And you know, I thought, wow, this is it's a pretty neat idea. It's pretty. It seems like it'd be a lot of fun to use. But you're right. You know, when I went on and I started to Google about golf boards, and you see, especially out in like the Las Vegas area, some of the resort type areas where they're using them, you see all this talk about, you know, they're instituting them to try and get more people to play, to try and increase the pace of play. But you're right. You don't hear any feedback from any of the superintendents out there. And if you watch the video, if you go on the golfboard.com website, and you watch some of those videos, you know, it's pretty scary because they're out there and they're driving and they're twisting and turning all around, and they're parked right up on an oceanside tee box, and they're teeing off and then taking off on the golf board, and they pull right up to the green. You know, and is it a way to get more people to play golf? I don't know. You know, golf is not for everybody. I think Rory McIlroy said that, or Ricky Fowler, one of the two, said that, you know, a few months back, that, you know, golf is just not for everybody. But it certainly is an attractive way to get people that do play to maybe want to come out and play more. Turf condition-wise, the impact of it, me personally, I'd rather have two people in a golf cart playing than worrying about those golf boards out there. But I think that if they can be instituted in the right way and they're going to help, grow the game, so to speak, you know, then certainly it's something to look into. And it seems pretty neat. I mean, I'd have fun on one. going out and playing on one. But, you know, you can't, you know, their big claim to fame is that it's going to speed up the game. And if you watch the videos, sure, it's going to speed up the game if you're allowing people to drive right up to where they're teeing off and you're allowing them to drive right up to the green. And that's where you're going to have big ramifications in terms of how the conditions of the golf course are going to suffer, because all that car traffic that continues to drive up to those areas is really going to put some wear and tear on the golf course over time.
Yeah, I would think then you would have to then reconsider your paths, I guess, if you will, to the you know, you'd have to rethink at least tee boxes and avenues to the green, because now you're going to have, usually you have ropes that keep you from driving your car in within a specific area. Now you're going to have to worry about people getting too close to the green, or, you know, I'm sure knuckleheads going on the green with the golf boards, and that's going to be a whole other issue.
Right, yeah. You know, their claim to fame was that you could play a round in 2 hours and 45 minutes or something, you know. And I think realistically, using those golf boards, maybe you could take about 25, 30 minutes off your round. But you would still have to manage the traffic no different from somebody in a, you know, in a normal golf cart. So, you know, I think that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think that what gets lost in the shuffle is, you know, everybody in the golf industry always talks about, how do you grow the game? How do you get more people to play? And, you know, and part of what I think gets lost in the element is, how do we make the game more attractive for those that really want to play it and those that enjoy playing it, you know? And that's what I think the challenge is, you know? So if the golf boards help out, amen. I certainly talked to my golf pro. He thought it was a pretty interesting idea. It would be right in the right type of atmosphere. So if it's going to help more people come out and play, then, I mean, I would certainly be up to, you know, giving them a shot.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point, and it's something that I've said many a times in regards to all these golf initiatives. And, you know, I know we had Woody Lashin on from Pete's Golf, and he loves the drive, chip, and putt, which I think, you know, the equivalent of the old punt, kick, and pass or whatever. And I agree, it's tremendous in terms of being a fun way to grow the game. But we've now splintered into so many different things that I think you're right. I think people really should be taking that effort, the financial effort, if you will, and emotional effort and everything else into making the game more enjoyable for those who do play golf. You know, at some point we have to stop chasing and start it and get back to taking care of the ones who have been with you all along.
That's right. And I think that's most important. You know, in no other sport, you know, do we really talk about, you know, how to make the sport easier so that more people will play it. You know, I mean, we're not making baskets bigger in basketball and, yep, and baseball bats bigger, you know, on the baseball field. You know, so that's what we're really trying to focus on. And I think that's what the golf community, you know, needs to really focus on is, you know, how do we continue to make it as appealing as possible for those that really like to play it? Because that's what's most important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get, you know, you always want to try and grow the game, you know, or at least keep on a little pace and stuff. I just feel like we've splintered into so many of these different efforts and programs and ideas, and I sort of think we've lost touch of a little bit of what's the goal, and or at least part of the goal is to keep the people that are playing. And, you know, to your point, I think one of those ways to keep, you know, this new buzzword amongst media is millennials, and this is the new demographic and that we have to get after, and how are we going to do it? And there are plenty of people that are doing it. There are magazines that are changing their style, if you will, major golf magazines that are changing the type of golf news that they once would never have posted are now part of their regular content scheduling, if you will. This word millennial has changed a lot, and it's had a dramatic effect on how people view trying to grow the game. And I think golf boards is definitely a cool way to do it. This idea of surfing or skating, I mean, a golf course can look like a skate park in some holes, given the undulation. So, yeah, if it makes it cooler, you know, that's great. If it, like you said, under the right conditions, definitely. I was curious more if there was things on if there were concerns in terms of on the green side of the golf industry. You know what I mean?
Sure. Where the cart goes, like you said, and it would have to be policed in the right way in terms of you certainly don't want people going out and taking those things for joyride, like you see on the golfboard.com website there with Laird Hamilton, one of the best surfers of all time out there,
right.
You know, riding down a oceanside hole like you're surfing a big wave on the North Shore of Hawaii. You know?
Right, exactly.
So, if it could be policed right, and if the tires on them were turf-friendly, you know, I certainly think that it would be another way to get these millennials in the same way that you know, golf course fashion has changed, and golf course, like you said, everything in golf magazines, you know, it's all become trendier, and so if the golf boards are going to be one of those avenues, then it's our job as superintendent to say, okay, you know what, if we're going to have the golf boards on our course, how are we going to set the course up to be able to allow them, but to still be able to protect the course to put as best conditions out as possible.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder if they considered even, you know, just talking to a golf course superintendent as they're designing, and, you know, I know they have a goal in mind, and it's financially motivated as well as it is to be innovative, if you know, in the industry. But when you gather minds, I thought it probably would have been helpful if they at least just contacted, or at least maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe we should have them on and talk to them.
That's a great point.
You know, why were they part of the research team? You know what I mean? If you're going to be doing something on a golf course, then, you know, have the golf pro, have the superintendent, get your engineers together and say, you know, this is my intention, this is what we want to do, and we want to cover all our bases before we put this into launch. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think it makes perfect sense. And you know, maybe they have done that, and if you get them on the show, I think that would be fantastic to find out about. You know, the only concern I had about those golf boards was when you look at the tires on them,
right.
They're very narrow tires.
Right.
And so, you know, obviously the narrower the tires, the more pressure that's put on the actual ground.
Right.
And that can be very problematic for the conditions.
Yes.
That golf board, if the tires were a little bit wider, I think it would be a little bit more turf friendly. So that's really the only reservation that I see with the actual design of the board itself.
Yeah. When I first looked at the board, I thought this is fantastic for Scotland, and, you know, where they have these big, you know, dune type landscapes, but the fescue is usually typically more than we are here in the Northeast, is firm and fast. And so it could handle that. In the Northeast, where we have to really water and keep things, you know, sort of on the wet side, if you will, just to keep things alive, given the temperatures and humidity, you know, you're gonna run into a lot of soft conditions, and you know you get one of those boards running through there, and you get stuck or whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Sure.
I don't know how, you know, geographically, I don't know how ideal it is, you know, maybe for some of the private courses where they can keep things firm and fast, it's a little different story. But mainstream golf courses who really have to pay attention, don't have the resources, and will always err on the side of caution. They're going to keep their course a little more moist than you'd maybe even like to have it. But so that's what I thought, more of a European type of thing. When I first saw it, because I knew they could handle it. But I got to get to my first break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891, and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
La Marmite Restaurant is a Long Island landmark. The tradition remains, but the menu, music, and vibe are all new. Golfers enjoy our wine selections from the vineyards of Ernie Els, Luke Donald, Jack Nicklaus, and Jim Nance, along with music on Friday and Saturday nights. Visit our website at lamarmiterestaurant.com for more details. Choose La Marmite for your next night out. We'll make it a special one.
All All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. We're talking with Tom Kaplan, the superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club. Tom, you and I talk a lot via Twitter or via text, and we talk about technology a lot. And, you know, recently we've been talking about wireless or Wi-Fi connected sprinkler systems and whatnot, just on a residential area. I'm just wondering, you know, the impact of technology has been so dramatic in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, if you will. You know, what's it been on for you in terms of how has technology dramatically impacted how you take care of a golf course?
I think the biggest impact that technology's had on the golf course is in the way that we now manage water, really. And since I've become a superintendent, water is a hot button topic, you know, across the country, you know, in all facets of anything that we do with plants and farming and whatnot. And so really, the way that technology has advanced itself for us to be able to, you know, measure water and to be able to use our water has been a tremendous asset, you know, for our industry, you know, as golf course superintendents. There's a big misconception out there, I think, that, you know, the golf courses are these big places that use a lot of water and that waste a lot of water. And to the contrary, I think that probably many of the superintendents around the country are some of the best water managers going, because, you know, we have to, manage water appropriately for conditions and for disease and whatnot. So the technological advances that they've made with the rain sensors, like you and I have talked about, you know, on your home lawn, no different on the golf course. And we use these moisture sensors that we go out and we probe areas with to make water determination. Should we put some water on it? Shouldn't we? You know, we have in-ground soil sensors that are tied into our actual irrigation system that really give us an idea in terms of how much water we're using and if we're using it effectively. So really, you know, that's where technology, I feel like, has really advanced itself in our favor. And, you know, you have to embrace technology. You know, I think back to, superintendent that I worked for at the Huntington Crescent Club, Harry Barenberg, for 5 years. You know, he was a superintendent for 30-plus years, and I always thought that, you know, that you work for these guys that have done it a long time. They do it a certain way, but lots of people that have been in their respective industry for a long time, they take technology, they embrace it, they learn how to use it, you know, and they adapt and they change. And so that's where technology has really helped us out, I would say, in the last 10 years.
I'm just curious, what is the when you talk about these in soil sensors, golf greens per se can be so big, especially when you talk about some classic designs, greens can be fairly large. What is the sort of, how far apart do you put, like, how many can a green possibly have? Because as you know better than most, some greens can be, you know, don't need, some areas of the green don't need as much water as others.
Sure. Right. Well, you would basically, if you think about it, just like you would think about your home lawn. You know, you probably always have one spot in your home lawn that after a rainfall, it always dries out first. And so you know your lawn's getting dry because that spot starts to dry out. So you know that's when you need to start thinking about turning your sprinklers back on. Well, it's really no different on the golf course. So, for example, on our golf course, we have a couple greens that we have one sensor in per green, but we put them in the driest part of the green, so that we know after rainfalls, you know, when those areas dry down, it is a good indicator that other areas on the golf course are going to dry down. And so that's when we need to start thinking about, okay, well, it's time to go out and check more areas, and it's time to go out and think about watering. So, you know, that's kind of how the sensor works. We'll put one in a green. We have a couple hot spots and fairways, you know, areas that will dry down quicker than others.
Right.
And so we'll kind of base our watering programs off of these sensors that we have out in the field.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to take one more break. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by Tom Kaplan of North Hempstead Country Club. Tom, we got about 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, we have some future events coming to Long Island, particularly Shinnecock and the U.S. Open. Everybody talks about the mobilization of volunteers and trying to get, walking scores and whatnot and all those, and thank God for them and we appreciate them. But, for head superintendent, can you just talk a little bit about the general coordinated effort that it takes to put on amongst superintendents to put on or to host an event like such as the U.S. Open?
Sure. Well, these events have really become real spectacles in terms of how the golf course is maintained, throughout the event. Typically for somewhere like a U.S. Open, you'll have anywhere from 100 to 200 volunteers that'll come in to help with the conditioning of the golf course during the week of the event. So really what happens for prior events, like when the U.S. Open was at Bethpage and the Barclays and whatnot, and even Shinnecock back in, I believe it was 2004, or five, I could be mistaken.
But yeah, no, you're right.
So you will have the superintendents and the local associations, like our Long Island Association, will reach out via email asking for volunteers. Even associations around the country, might offer to send some of their assistants or even superintendents to these events. And so the outreach that takes place in the volunteering effort is something that's tremendous. I know for Sabonic, for example, when we had the Women's U.S. Open, I had the fortune of being able to send one of my assistants to work there for a week, and I think there was over 100 volunteers there. So it really is a collaborative effort, that's really spearheaded by the superintendent. To reach out and to have volunteers that come in. And, it's my way, really, and it's a lot of our superintendents themselves, it's a way of rewarding their staff with hard work by letting them participate in an event like this, which is really something special. So, it's going to be an exciting time in the coming years for Long Island with the Barclays coming to back the Bethpage. And then it's going to Glen Oaks, which is a fabulous 27-hole golf course. And like you said, the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, and then another U.S. Open at Wingfoot, and the Ryder Cup eventually at Bethpage. I mean, these are exciting times for Metropolitan Golf.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited. Just real quick, I'm just curious. When you send people to a place like, Shinnecock or whatever the case may be, is there any kind of, and forgive my ignorance, but is there any kind of educational, not just in the aspect of what they're doing, but also something that you might want to, that you typically, or let me put better, that might be course specific. Your course, you might treat a certain way, but you can't treat every course the way you do. Do they have to sort of just get a little heads up on, hey, this is how we do things?
Typically what ends up happening is a day or two before the actual event takes place, the practice round, so maybe on Saturday afternoon or Sunday, they'll ask all the volunteers to come in for a meeting. Right. We'll have a meeting and talk about, how it's going to be organized and how it's going to be run. And then from there on in, they have they'll have a few assistants or a couple managers that will go out to specific areas and go over it. And, the good thing about our profession and the assistants and the superintendents is, we want to do whatever the superintendent or whatever the authority tells us how to do it and in which way to do it. We're going to do it that way because we want whatever course we're working on to be a great representation of, the golf industry, when these events take place. So that's typically how it happens.
Tom, I can't thank you enough for being part of the program. I'm really interested and fascinated by the green side of golf, and I really appreciate your insights. And it really does change the way I look at a golf course when I'm walking around in ways that I never did before. So, just really appreciate your time and taking the effort to come on and discuss these issues with me.
Always a pleasure, Anthony. Thanks for having me on, and enjoy your weekend.
You too as well. All right, folks.
Okay,
take care. All right, folks, that's all the time we have. As Tom said, please make sure you get out there and play some golf. It's gorgeous out there. Play 9 holes if you can, at least. And thank you for joining me. We'll catch up with you next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.